This is music from Ukraine. Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And Joe, this is written about the Crimean War, right?
Indeed, Bob. Hello from Lviv. We played this song a few months ago. It's called Vastopol. And it was written by an American from Ohio in the mid-19th century when the Crimean War was happening. And the Crimean War, in some ways, was kind of the first world war. It was the first war. This is over fighting over the Crimean Peninsula. You had the Russians versus many powers from Europe, including France and the United Kingdom. And it was the first war where there was a telegraph and there were photographs. And so people far away could understand a little bit of what was happening. And so this is someone in Ohio in the 1850s. Was inspired by the stories of this war to write this little song called Vastopol. The version we're listening to is played by the late American legend, Elizabeth Cotton, one of the best guitar players in American history from North Carolina. And the reason why I had the song in my mind today, Vastopol obviously being a shortened version of the biggest city in Crimea, which is called Sevastopol. Because in the early hours this morning, Ukrainians launched a missile attack on the Crimean Peninsula. Now, the Crimean Peninsula has been occupied by the Russians since 2014. The Russians moved in swiftly to overtake it when Ukraine had its revolution of dignity in February 2014. During that revolution, they kicked out the pro-Putin oligarchs out of their government. And Russia had a naval base in Crimea. Going back to the Soviet times and well before, and when Ukraine got its independence in 1991, Ukraine agreed to let Russia keep their base in Crimea. And so it was very easy for Russia to take over the peninsula in 2014, because the government of Ukraine was basically decimated. The people had taken control of their society, and Russia quickly moved in to take that. And so now, you know, for Ukrainians maintain that until Crimea is back in Ukrainian hands, there cannot be true victory in this war. Because for one main reason is that it's very easy for Russia to attack from that naval base. In fact, last night they did. The Russians sent drones back into that region, the southern part of Odessa region called Bessarabia. They sent drones to the port city of Izmail, right across from Romania. And so Crimea is very strategically important. It's also home to the Crimean Tartars, the ethnic Muslim group that have been oppressed by the Russians going back to the Soviet times. And Ukraine now has a new Crimean Tartar defense minister. And so what we saw in the early hours this morning, Ukraine launched an attack on that naval base in Sevastopol. And it seems that they destroyed a Russian submarine, and also heavily damaged other Russian ships. And so this is quite extraordinary. It shows a great weakness in Russian defenses and a Ukrainian ability with some of the Western weapons, probably especially from United Kingdom sent these Storm Shadow missiles several months ago. And the Storm Shadow has the ability to reach Crimea from Ukrainian-held Ukrainian soil. I don't know yet exactly what Ukrainians used to attack, but this is something. It's a great sign of progress for Ukraine, and so I thought it appropriate to play this little tune, Vastopol, which is sort of, you know, we've had some heavy discussions the past few days, but this is something very positive for Ukraine.
Hmm. Meanwhile, Putin and Kim Jong Un spent about 5 hours together. And as you said yesterday, and as many people have said, this is a sign of the Russian leader's weakness. But nothing good can come out of this, can it?
No, I mean, you know, you get the bad guys, working together. And it's also interesting timing. You know, we don't know any, we can never trust any information that comes from either North Korea or Moscow. I mean, it's hard enough to trust politicians in the West. But in countries where there's no free speech and no free press, we can never know quite what they agreed. But in light of that meeting, to have this major Ukrainian attack on the Crimean Peninsula, on the Russian base there, because Russia was making some promises to North Korea that, oh, we can help you with satellite technology. But we see weaknesses in Russia's ability not only with air defense, but in surveillance abilities for the Ukrainians to make these sort of sneak attacks. Because just a few weeks ago, Ukraine, as we talked about before, Ukraine hit a Russian air base in the north of Russia, near the border with Lithuania, with drones. And so Ukrainians are finding these weaknesses. And by the way, I never talked about it, but when Ukrainians hit that Pskov air base in Russia several weeks ago, one of the Ukrainians, a guy in the Ukrainian military, called the emergency helpline for the local Russian city near the air base. And he said, I heard some explosions. Can you tell me what's going on? And the Russian woman in this operation center, like sort of a 911 center, she said, yeah, I think the air base was hit. And the Ukrainian said, was it once or twice? And she said, only once. And he said, okay, thank you for the information, Slava Ukraini. And so we do see this great, Ukrainians are very tech savvy and strong spirited. And so we see that. That's kind of what it takes. It's going to take to make these sort of incursions it's not incursions into Russia per se. It's attacking the places from which Ukraine is steadily attacked. This is really necessary in order for Ukraine, to put a stop to these almost daily missile strikes. And by the way, I wanted to mention I was speaking recently with Adan Aslan. He's a British citizen who came to Ukraine to volunteer and fight. And I've mentioned him before, I think, but he was imprisoned. He was fighting near Mariupol, and the Russians captured him. And he was sentenced to death in Donetsk People's Republic, sort of that puppet regime of Moscow in eastern Ukraine. And he recently wrote about his experience, and he said that he was forced to sing the Russian national anthem while he was in the prison. And the way he describes it, he gives you just a glimpse into what we're dealing with, not only at the Kremlin level but down to the level of individual soldiers. And he wrote about how the first thing when he arrived in the Russian prison, they said, do you know the Russian anthem? And, don't worry, you're going to know it soon. And that was the main focus every day, was making the prisoners sing. And if you every time you screwed up, they would beat you. Hmm. He described how he saw one guy die, one prisoner die from this. And then he had to face a serious question when they were filming him, and he knew he was going to be filmed singing, as best he could, the Russian national anthem. And at first he felt bad, maybe it was better to die than to have to sing that. But then he realized that, everyone who knows him well would know that this is not something he would ever want to do. And it was important to send that message of clear distress. And then he said, furthermore, he's very happy now that there is video of him singing that, because this can be used, he hopes, one day in the war crime tribunals of how Russians are behaving.
So inspiring. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thank you, Joseph. And we look forward to our conversation at this time tomorrow.
Yeah, Bob, can I say quickly, we have a great listener from Chicago is here in Ukraine.
Oh.
Jim Gamash. He showed up yesterday in Lviv wearing a Notre Dame T-shirt. And he brings greetings and donations from so many listeners to the show. He's had fundraisers in Naperville at the Stonebridge Country Club. And he showed up here to help and volunteer. So I feel very, very strongly right now the spirit of Chicago and the WGN listeners here in Lviv today.
That's fantastic. As you say, Jim is his name?
Jim Gamash, yes.
Love hearing that. Say hi for us, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Until tomorrow.